So welcome back to Spirit Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, I come to you from my bar here in Lindale, Texas. It's always nice to do a podcast in your own bar and talk to the great guest that I'm going to introduce here shortly. Before we get started, we're going to thank a couple of our sponsors and just go down the list. We've got Rex Consulting, Hoot Holler Beverage out in Gun Barrel City, Red Construction. Thanks so much for Thomas and Martha. You guys were our first sponsors. Really appreciate you guys supporting us. The Vault Arms, Goosehead Insurance, the Humidor there in Tyler, and our newest sponsor is True Vine Brewery in Tyler. We're so excited to partner with you guys. They're going to be our new home in the future. So if you are tuning in to this podcast, this is the first time we've announced that, and we'll announce it on the page as well. Without further ado, before I introduce our guest, I'd like to talk a little bit about what both of us are having as a beverage. I've got an ode to Jaden Daniels here, our LSU guy. We're both going to be having E.H. Taylor Small Batch to start the podcast. We may get into something a little bit different than that after we get into a couple of these high agenda items that Alex has in front of him and I've got in front of me. So without further ado, we've got our good friend, Alex Shaw. This is his second time on the podcast. Super excited to talk to him about some of the updates he has from last year. If you don't remember, or this is the first time that you've been introduced to Alex, Alex is the CEO or sole proprietor of Whiskey Weight Loss, which is a super interesting, intricate app that we'll dig into a little bit here in just a minute. He also owns a Taste of Whiskey, which is a sampling business. And we're also going to dig into his new certification of being a whiskey sommelier and also a fitness instructor. So, Alex, thanks so much for being on the show again. Really appreciate you coming on. Now, with it warming up, I mean, this is good timing. Like, people are starting to, like, get into their, you know, their fitness bodies, right?
Dude, absolutely. It's time to come out of hibernation. We've got spring and summer just around the corner. Really excited to talk shop with you, talk whiskey, talk weight loss, drink with you, and just have a good chat, man.
Yeah, for sure. So before we get started, let's talk a little bit about, for those that didn't watch the first podcast, tell us a little bit about yourself. And, you know, obviously, I think anybody that's listening can hear a little bit of an accent. So they know, hey, look, this guy may have come across from the pond. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in North Texas.
Absolutely, man. So, yeah, as you can tell, I am definitely not from the Dallas area. I'm originally from England. Came over for a study abroad here, decided I liked it over here, decided to stay, got a master's degree in exercise physiology, and been here 10, 11 years now. It's kind of crazy. Love the culture, love the people, love the whiskey, and, you know, just really kind of ingrained myself into this North Texas area, specifically amongst the whiskey community, which is just full of people that I really like, I really get along with, a lot of common interests. Just, you know, happy to be here, put roots down here, and, you know, set up shop, for lack of a better term.
Right, for sure. So since we've talked the last time, as I stated in your introduction, you've recently got a new certification. Let's talk a little bit about that. What was some of the motivating factors that you looked into to get your Whiskey Sommelier certification?
Yeah. So a little bit of context on the Whiskey Sommelier stuff. Like, I think everyone kind of knows about wine sommeliers, and there is a certification company that people go through for wine, and it's kind of like an industry standard kind of thing. Whiskey's a little bit different. There's a few different companies that offer different certifications. I actually did one before my Whiskey Sommelier called Executive Bourbon Steward, offered by the Stave and Thief Society, and that was great. But that's more aimed at, like, you know, bourbon knowledge, bourbon enthusiasts, which I absolutely count myself a part of that community. But with my whiskey tasting business, A Taste of Whiskey, you know, I wanted to just go one step further. And anyone who's kind of deep into whiskey YouTube, there's a channel there called The Vault, The Whiskey Vault. And the guys that run that channel, they're actually based down in Austin, and they created the Whiskey Marketing School. And this is a way to train people not to just know about whiskey, but also to deeply understand it and also to communicate about it. So it's been on my to-do list for a while, and I was waiting for the class and my schedule to kind of sync up. So I went down to Austin and I did the sommelier class. And don't get me wrong, like there's four different levels of sommelier. I took my level one. I'm already booked in for level two in September, but it's just a super fun experience. I like to think I know a decent amount about whiskey. Like you're always learning, you know, as a student of the spirit, but I was just able to learn so much. And over the course of the certification process, we tried 36 different whiskeys, all blind. And the first few, spaced over a few days. This was not a single day.
I was about to say, that's a lot in one day. Yeah,
that's a lot in one day. And we didn't finish all of them. We were encouraged to sip and, you know, not get smashed. But, we're trying three whiskeys at a time, trying to narrow down the major grain and the mash bill. Then we move into what country, what style, are we talking column still? Are we talking pot still? And all of the markers for each. Now, I had a decent handle on American whiskey. Ironically, you know, I came from England to America and I have a better handle of American whiskey. But, you know, I really got a good appreciation for more of the nuance of Scotch, for the nuance of Irish, for the nuance of even Canadian and Japanese whiskey. It was just so much fun. And to be around a group of people like that who have just that thirst for knowledge and also getting to try a bunch of stuff that's kind of outside of our normal wheelhouse. Because I truly believe we can kind of get sucked into the same old stuff, especially when it comes to allocated whiskey. And I love, you know, allocated stuff, hard to find stuff, high end stuff. But you get drawn into that bubble a little bit. And it's like, okay, here's a scotch that tastes like bacon. And I'm like, holy cow, it tastes like smoked meat. This is amazing and different and really not that enjoyable, but also like kind of cool simultaneously. So the whiskey sommelier stuff, it's definitely for business. Like I totally made it a tax write-off, but it was, you know, as much of a passion project as it was continuing education for the tasting business.
Yeah, let's talk about that since we're on that subject. A Taste of Whiskey is something that you launched. It, when we were talking the last time, it was in its infancy stages. I know you've done quite a few tastings now. What has that business been like, and what are some of the takeaways and some of the highlights of that business so far?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm getting paid to drink whiskey. So it is basically my dream job. And in terms of what it's been like recently, so I've had a variety of events. I'm based in the North Dallas, Frisco, Plano, Addison area of Texas. And I've hosted classes, meaning, you know, 24 people in a room kind of going through a tasting together. I've held private events where people have hired me in for client entertainment, friend get-togethers, things like that. It's been at offices, it's been at people's homes. And then just recently, I did my first corporate event, which was virtual, which was a lot of fun. So a company hired me for client entertainment, and we had people in Nashville, California, the Chicago area, and we were able to just go through that. And that was a lot of fun, just being able to shoot the breeze, have a great tasting. And one of the things that I do differently compared to a lot of whiskey tastings, we do everything blind. You know, there's a lot of people who do curated tastings, and curated tastings are great. Don't get me wrong. Learning about the history and the, you know, nuance of what you're drinking, great. Love that. But I like blind stuff because a lot of people, especially with whiskey, like I think it can be maybe labeled as a snobby spirit. Right. It's like, oh, you drink whiskey and you drink 20-year-old scotch and expensive bourbon. It's like, you know, it comes with preconceived notions, I find sometimes. Sure. When we are drinking blind, we don't know anything. We are going purely off of our senses and our experiences. And I love just leveling the playing field and saying, okay, today's flight is whiskey from around the world. We've got an American whiskey, a Scotch whiskey, an Irish whiskey, a Japanese whiskey, right? How fun is that? Can you figure out which one is which? Or we can do, you know, bourbon across America. We've got Texas whiskey, we've got Tennessee whiskey, we've got Kentucky whiskey, we've got, you know, pick your poison for the next one, maybe even throw Canadian whiskey in there. It's like, can you pick it apart? And I just love this idea of having a joined experience where the playing field is leveled. No one is, you know, tossing out, you know, factoids for status in a room. It's just let's have fun and let's enjoy an experience together from really just a place of wanting to know more, experience something new, and have fun with it. And to me, that's what I enjoy most about that business and that kind of side gig. It's just it's having fun and it's learning and it's seeing. Like a little part of me is like, I love it when the person who thinks they know a ton about whiskey gets the lineup wrong. Like, I'm not trying to be a mean person, but it's kind of funny when someone who's so far up their own butt gets their lineup wrong. Like, that makes me a little bit happy on the inside. Just because, like, dude, I don't know about you, but I've done enough blind tastings where I realize like it's hard when you don't have when you're not being told what you're tasting to come up with tasting notes to go. This tastes more like corn. This tastes younger. This tastes older. This tastes like Texas heat. Like, it's not an easy thing to do, and it's a really cool, kind of cool, humbling experience.
Yeah, before I did podcasting, I was in sampling during COVID. That's what I did. It wasn't my 9 to 5, but I did it kind of as a side deal. And my best samplings were blind, 100%. And I think I liken it to if you were blindfolded and given assortment of cheeses or chocolates, you identify the ingredients much better, and you're not so focused on the label. We do realize that the label is stuck on there by glue, right? It's in a bottle. That's what we know. And so when I've poured blindly to for people, and one of my favorites I've done is where you have the regular spirit that's found on the shelf compared to a single barrel pick. Where it's one barrel that had a yield of 200 bottles, and that's all it has. So the shelf bottle, it's a blend of a bunch of barrels, and then you have the distiller that isolates a variety of barrels, and then you have either a club, a store, an individual, or whatever that goes and says, hey, this is my best of the three that you're offering, or five. And you sample the two of those and try to differentiate why somebody would purchase the entire barrel. The sweetness is there. Maybe there is more, of a certain type of flavor that whoever that was or whoever the group was isolated that and liked that and was willing to invest in that. And so, blind tasting is by far the best in my opinion, because you may even know what you're sampling, but you don't know the difference between the other maybe three or four. And maybe I liked what you said, where you had maybe three different offerings, four different offerings, and then you get people talking about what they're tasting versus trying to outshoulder each other on what they know.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you in need of some top-notch libations to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than Hoot and Holler Liquor Store in Gun Barrel City, your go-to liquor store for quality drinks. From smooth bourbons to crisp wines and everything in between, Hoot and Holler has one of the largest and most diverse selections in East Texas. Planning a special occasion? Let our experts guide you to the perfect bottle. You'll receive excellent customer service not offered in the big box chains. Visit Hoot and Holler today and let the good times flow.
If you are looking for a reputable builder with a proven track record and a client base to back it up, give Red Construction and Development LLC a call. Red Construction offers full design build services for new construction, custom homes, and remodeling with free site evaluations. They have an A-plus rating with the BBB and are proud members of the Tyler Area Builders Association, Texas Association of Builders, National Association of Home Builders, and the Lyndale Area Chamber of Commerce. Red Construction and Development LLC stands behind the exceptional quality of their work and have the expertise, the resources, and dedication to deliver the results you need on time and on budget. To learn more, give them a call at 903-630-8660 or visit them online at redconstructiondevelopment.com.
Things firearms. Extensive selection of handguns, rifles, shotguns, and accessories. Knowledgeable staff to assist you in finding the perfect firearm to fit your needs. State-of-the-art gun range equipped with the latest technology for a safe and thrilling shooting experience. Take advantage of our professional shooting instruction and training programs suitable for all skill levels. Host your next group outing, corporate event, or bachelor party at our spacious and secure shooting facility. Committed to promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. Fully licensed and compliant with all state and federal regulations.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. And I really like the point you brought up there where it's just people experiencing different things. And you know what? When people have different tasting notes, it's not that they are one is right and one is wrong. The part of our brain that processes taste is actually like not particularly good at communicating with the part of our brain that processes language. And the thing that brings those two parts of our brains together is actually memories. So when someone tastes a whiskey, they might go, weird, it reminds me of my grandma's house. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, it probably isn't that the whiskey is made with the essence of grandma, but maybe grandma made a lot of snickerdoodle cookies and what they're tasting is actually the note of cinnamon. But they haven't like just linked that flavor with the word cinnamon, but they're processing it through memory. So it's really cool that two people can try the exact same whiskey, but get different tasting notes because they're processing through memories. And until you've had a lot of whiskey and a lot of tasting notes, it's really hard to link this flavor is apple, this flavor is cherry, this flavor is banana. It's just, well, this kind of reminds me of fruit, and this kind of reminds me of an old fashioned, and this kind of like, you know, and we're just piecing it together.
Sure,
and
sure.
Anyone who comes out with just these really elaborate tasting notes, unless they've, you know, been drinking a lot of whiskey and, you know, sniffing essential oils and like actually training their palate,
yeah.
I just call bullshit on it a lot. It's just one of those things where if you say something with confidence, people tend to believe you. And, you know, like no one's getting like toasted marshmallow and caramel apple at the fair. It's like, all right, like it tastes sweet and fruity. And if you had that good of a palate, you'd probably, you know, be hired somewhere for this kind of thing. But it makes for entertainment. And that's
yes.
You know, one of the things we learned through the sommelier program, which is, people don't hire you for accurate tasting notes. It would be nice if you can provide that. But what they hire sommeliers for or tastings for is entertainment. And
sure.
If you can weave a story that is based in truth, it's a lot more valuable than just stating, I get tobacco, chocolate, right? It's so much more interesting if you can weave those tasting notes into a story of the whiskey. Because ultimately, people love stories. And that's what we're trying to do with whiskey. It's the best whiskeys are the best stories that are associated with a distilled brown liquid.
I'll say one more thing about samplings. One of my favorite things about samplings is you're always going to have that guy or girl that mentions a flavor or note, and it's an obscure note. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. And then your brain starts thinking about it like, whoa, what am I missing out on? And then you sample it again. You're like, oh yeah, I can pick up on that. It's like an absolute stimulant. The most prominent ones are like mint,
mm-hmm.
or like bananas, like you said. Juniper is another one that comes to mind. Some of the more floral notes. When people say, "Hey, I taste that," you don't want to miss out, and so immediately your brain's like, "Hey, I got to keep up." And the next sip, you definitely taste it because your mind's stimulated. So if anybody's listening to this and not gone through a sampling, I encourage you definitely go through a blind one. But any of them are really fun. They're interesting. And the folks that are pouring and talking, they've invested time like I did and like you have for sure. I mean, done a lot of homework and that certification process, even though 36 samples is pretty fun, it's not easy at the end of the day.
You're absolutely right.
Yep. All right. So how the heck do you get wrangled into being a president of a whiskey club. I mean, let's give some props to the Plano Whiskey Club. But I've been a vice president here locally in our Tyler chapter. It's again not an easy process where you're having to create flights and you're having to create some engagement and you're having to, try to get membership and try to drive participation and things like that. So I mean, and there's not a lot of glory in that position either. So how do you get wrangled into doing this, man?
Dude, that's a great question. And I love communities. I love whiskey communities especially. So I joined Plano Whiskey Club a while back when the story of the club is actually one of many Facebook groups, which is it started out as a local club where people could post in a Facebook group about what they found in a store, you know, what are their thoughts on different whiskeys. And it was growing and growing and becoming kind of more dilute. And, you know, if anyone has run a whiskey club, God bless your soul. But like you find it just spirals and spirals until it becomes this kind of unmanageable beast, right? Like we like Plano Whiskey Club went from 100 people to like 500 people. And it's like, God, this thing is just tough to manage. So the person who was previously in charge, he was like, hey, we're going to do something a little bit different. It's going to be a nonprofit venture, but we're going to start charging for membership with the idea that we can just create a higher quality community that is focused around events. And, you know, we can do something different. And if you don't want to pay for a whiskey club membership, like that's fine. There are so many whiskey clubs and things that you can join and be, you know, very content. That's wonderful. But if you want a slightly more curated experience, if you want something a little bit more exclusive without being snobby, like maybe this is something that you could be interested in. And eventually, like I was in charge of events and it just made sense from a logistical point of view for me to take over as president. So I did that sometime in the middle late of 2024. And really the goal of Plano Whiskey Club is not to be some super exclusive, super snobby, like, oh, you're a member of Plano Whiskey Club, like you must be real. Like, no, we don't want that. But what we do want is a group of people who are committed to trying, you know, new things when it comes to whiskey. So like I said, I'm now a level one whiskey sommelier, but one of the other guys that helps me run the group, he's a level three, and he knows more about whiskey than I will probably learn in my lifetime. So being able to do, you know, blind flights where Scott is leading is really cool. We also want to encourage visiting and working with local distilleries. So like we take a trip to Iron Root, we take a trip to Bent Distilling. We're going to take a trip to, well, we took a trip to 1845, who have won a bunch of awards. Like we go and visit these local distilleries so that we can build relationships and understand more about the process that is going on there and just have fun with it. Like we do poker nights and we do, you know, just like hangout time, but it's just a great way to build relationships, build community. And like, it's $300 a year. It's $25 a month. Like it is not some massive investment. People spend more than that on whiskey in a month or two sometimes. So it's like, you know, whether you buy barrel picks or you pay for a membership, like it's about the same amount of money. We're just doing it in a slightly different way. And selfishly, 100% selfishly, Andrew, managing a paid group is so much easier than managing an open to the public group. And the thing that makes whiskey clubs or whiskey groups a shit show, for lack of a better term, is they grow and there's too many voices. And when you kind of put that barrier in there, it keeps the quality of the group pretty high. The other thing we do a lot of bottle shares, and bottle shares are not something unique to a paid membership group, but they are fun. So we do themed ones. So like last month we had Irish whiskey as a theme. So we had so much different red breast and high-end red breast as well. We had five different spots. You know, we had yellow spot, we had gold spot, we had red spot, we had green spot, we have a special edition group, like, you know, just so many different things to try. And it's just cool to be able to expand your palate in that way. And then, you know, all the different events, like it's fun. We aim to do 24 events a year. So it's
ambitious. Woo.
Yeah. It's a bottle share and it's an event, you know, a non-bottle share event every month. And when we do it, it's just a lot of fun. You know, for me as leader, it's like, there's work involved, but it's always enough fun to offset the work And I have a team of three guys with me as well, and it kind of splits the load. And we have some systems in place. We're actually potentially expanding to 36 events a year. We're going to try that out and see if there's time for it. But yeah, it's just one of those things that's a ton of fun. It's a passion project. And like selfishly, it feeds into my businesses a little bit, enough to make it worth my time. So, it's a lot of fun and it's a great group of guys. Like, I don't know about you, but my experience with whiskey is that 98% of the people I meet through whiskey, they're just good people. They just want to hang out, they want to chat, they want to learn, they want to share. And it's hard to find bad eggs in the bunch. And I don't think you can say that about a lot of communities. I think, there's very few networks of people where just the quality of character is so high.
Yeah, I mean, my experience has been great. I've kind of straddled that line too with a society and a club, and been involved in a lot of picks and been involved in a lot of decision making in the finances and stuff like that. And it's challenging. I really advocate recently for like an auto in group, which is similar to like a paid group, where you're just, hey, look, we do a pick and you have to buy it, or you transition out of the club. So I see value in in a paid group, and I wish East Texas was big enough for that. I don't think we're there yet. I think there may be a day that comes along that where we are, but we're just not there yet. And kudos to Raleigh at Bent, give him some props. He was on the podcast and we did a live show here, where we did some sampling, and man, they're doing great things there. Missed the Witherspoon stuff, but man, they're doing things the right way there at Bent. Haven't had Iron Root on yet, man. I'd love to have them on. I need to go visit with them. They're doing things the right way too. And I need to go visit 1845. I haven't visited them. So you're teaching me something here. I need to get out there.
Yeah, dude, 1845 is so interesting because they have a weird little microclimate for Texas. It's a lot more humid in that part because I think they're right by a creek and they've got a lot of tree cover. So their whiskey ages a little bit differently compared to like Iron Root, for example. And you just get a slightly different take on Texas whiskey. Not necessarily better, not necessarily worse. Like Iron Root puts out some amazing stuff. I love their Saint Sally collaboration. But 1845 is just a little bit different, and different is good because if every Texas whiskey tastes the same, we're going to get really burnt out really quickly. And Texas whiskey has a funk, it has a profile that is not for everyone, and that's okay. The flavors are bold, the flavors of oak forward, even at a young barrel age, it's like everything is bigger in Texas, like literally when it comes to that flavor. So it's just cool to be able to see how different distilleries are doing it. Like I think Bent leads a lot into cocktails. Like I love going hanging out at a distillery. They've got some really cool cocktails. They've got some interesting takes on stuff. Iron Root obviously leans really heavily into the corn varietals, going hard on the Bloody Butcher corn, and just the difference that you can make with something that isn't number two Yellow Dent, which is what all of Kentucky uses. And it's just cool to see all of that local craft, coming to life and coming to market. And they're winning awards. Like 1845 has won a bunch of medals through San Francisco. Iron Root's won World Whiskey of the Year with Harbinger. And I think their corn whiskey, I think it's Hubris, again, cleaned up at the Whiskey Awards. So it's just like, it's cool to see Texas represented in what is a very Kentucky dominant industry.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's get into. We talked a lot about whiskey so far, and but I mean, your bread and butter is fitness, and we talked a little bit about your background with your studies and all that good stuff. How did you come to connect whiskey or drinking in general? Because I think it's just spirits, just talking about spirits in general, and fitness. How did that come about? And what were some of the things that you thought about when you started to generate an idea for a business for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say fitness came first. I was an overweight kid that found the gym, fell in love with it, learned all I could, read the magazines, read the blogs, all of that good stuff. So it was fitness first. But then one of my clients actually kind of slipped me over a glass of whiskey at a bar one day, and he was like, "Try this." And it was a glass of Blanton's, and I was like, "I don't hate this. This is the first whiskey I've had where I'm not like immediately kind of repulsed by it." Back in England, I was not a Scotch drinker. I was a hard cider drinker. I was from part of the countryside that really leaned into, fermented apples and basically alcoholic apple juice, and it's great.
Right.
But alcoholic apple juice and scotch are two very different flavor profiles. So I was not a big whiskey drinker in England. But this Kentucky stuff, it was a little bit sweet, it was a little bit enjoyable, and I kind of, that planted the seed, basically. Well, then COVID hits and there's nothing to do except day drink. So I go and make friends with my liquor store manager. I make some whiskey friends. We're all sitting outside on someone's deck, 6 feet apart, drinking whiskey at 9 in the morning. The standard stuff, the standard stuff.
Right.
And I just started having conversations with people. And a lot of those conversations were like, "Yeah, I should probably lose weight, but I don't want to give up carbs. I don't want to give up alcohol. I don't want to give up steak, whatever." And it's, with weight loss, there's a lot of focus on what you can't have. And understandably, there is a level of restriction that comes with weight loss generally. But having said that, you don't have to give up all of the fun stuff. And talk about seeds being planted, those conversations really sprouted to become this idea of, what if I can create a business, a brand, a program that communicated the idea of weight loss doesn't have to suck. Weight loss requires a certain amount of effort. It requires a certain amount of nuance and structure and accountability. Like, all of that stuff is still true, but it doesn't have to suck. And these conversations led to a lot of repeated stories of, I needed to lose weight, and then I gave up everything that was fun, whether it be carbs or alcohol or both. And I lost the weight, but then I didn't want to continue the diet, so I ended up gaining it all back. And I think that's a story that resonates with a lot of people who have been on the weight loss journey before. And what I kind of pride myself on through, the creation of Whiskey Weight Loss is, you don't have to give all of that stuff up. We just have to be smart about it. And through my, kind of coaching, like at this point, Whiskey Weight Loss is almost 4 years old. I've had 200 people go through the process. It's
Wow.
pretty refined at
Right,
this
and I'm
point.
one of those people.
You are one of those
Yeah.
people.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just cool to be able to not only help people lose weight, like that is absolutely part of it, don't get me wrong, but be able to show people what a sustainable weight loss lifestyle looks like, including some drinking. Like, you and I are both drinking whiskey right now, having a good time. And it's not something that we're like, "Oh God, I cheated on my diet. Like, I'm a terrible person." It's all about balance. Like, moderation is a word that gets thrown around a lot, and that's part of it to a degree. But it's more about creating the sustainable lifestyle change that involves alcohol when it's appropriate, when it adds value. So for me, that was just this connection, this kind of missing link of, I'm talking to all of these people who enjoy whiskey, that I like hanging out with, but they don't see how they can keep whiskey as part of a healthy diet or a healthy lifestyle. And I was like, "I can show you. Like, to me, it's not that hard. Like, let me take you on this journey, and we can get to the other side of it, and we're healthier, happier, still drinking whiskey, still a part of the community that you and I both value."
Yeah, 100%. As I alluded to, I was part of that program, but we'll dig into that program here in just a minute. Before
Are you looking to optimize your drilling rig operations and maximize productivity? Look no further. REX Consulting is here to power your drilling. With over 20 years of industry experience, our expert team provides tailored solutions that drive efficiency, safety, and profitability. From site assessments to cutting-edge technology integration, REX Consulting is your trusted partner for land-based and offshore oil and gas drilling solutions. Ready to take your rig to the next level? Contact REX Consulting today and send your operations to the next level in operational performance. Contact Josh Simmons at 918-637-9181. REX Consulting, level up.
The Humidor is your online cigar retailing headquarters. Our experienced staff has spent years finding some of the best cigars from around the world to sell to our customers. If you're looking for an online cigar store that can help you find your next favorite smoke, welcome to the Humidor. We began the Humidor because of our deep appreciation of the finer things in life, a good conversation with friends, an aged whiskey, and, of course, a fine smoke. That's why, in addition to selling premium cigars online, we also operate a brick-and-mortar cigar lounge in Tyler, Texas. Our lounge is crafted to provide a classic ambience with modern sensibilities, and we've spent time ensuring that smokers and non-smokers have an enjoyable experience, whether they're there for a drink with friends or to enjoy the game.
Before we get into the program, we got to talk about some of the easy ways out. And so this year in 2025, I started getting into a little bit more of the carnivore type stuff. And so that's a popular thing people do. Ketos is another popular thing that people do. Talk a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about some other fads that are kind of prominent in the fitness and losing weight world.
Absolutely. So the first thing I'll say about both of those diets is they work. They work really well. The trouble is that they typically introduce a level of restriction that is unsustainable for most people. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a certain subset of the population, call it, between 1% and 5%, that naturally thrive on an incredibly low carbohydrate diet. And they have a lifestyle that doesn't really demand them to have, you know, any kind of carbs at any point. For those people, keto is a very sustainable way of living. And that's wonderful. The trouble is that might be 1% to 5% of the population. I'm pulling those numbers out my butt. And the other 95% to 99% of the population can't sustain keto because they have jobs and friends and family and kids. Like the example,
travel
is a huge one. Like, you're going to go to Italy and not enjoy pasta or pizza. It's like, that seems like it's more hassle than it's worth. So, you know, the example I frequently use is, hey, if you have a kid and it's their birthday and your daughter wants daddy to have a slice of cake, are you going to tell your five-year-old that daddy's on a diet and he can't have birthday cake on her birthday? Like, yeah, good luck, asshole. Like, it's just it's not a sustainable way of living for the vast majority of people. Now, there's great things about carnivore as well. Anytime you can up your protein intake, anytime you can reduce your intake of processed food, like, that's all fantastic. But again, sustainability. Also, like, fruit and vegetables are good. I don't know. Like, the media loves to really make these extreme takes on things. But, like, no, for 99.9% of the population, vegetables are good. Fruit is good. No one ever got fat off of fruit. You get the shits way before you get fat off fruit. So it's just one of those things where, you know, the media loves to take these extreme angles and popularize them because they get clicks and they bring in advertising dollars and all of that kind of stuff. But the general principles behind carnivore work. The general principles behind keto, which is lower carbs, especially when it's processed carbs, like, those things work. But you can, if you want to, you can absolutely lose weight while eating carbs, drinking alcohol. But again, we've got to be smart about it. And there's ways to do it. And we can talk about them. I talk about them a bunch in my program, but we could totally do surface level stuff if you wanted to.
I mean, I think the premise of what we're trying to make sure that people understand is, you know, any of these fad things that you jump into are going to be temporary. And 99% of the time, you're going to make a commitment and you're going to break that commitment. It may not be 30 days down the road. It may not be 60 days down the road. It's going to be 90 or 120 days. And I've heard a lot of people do the, you know, 60 day hard or the 75 day hard.
75 hard.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what we will dig into with your program is it's a lot about accountability and just understanding your weaknesses. And at least that's what it did for me. It exposed a lot of weaknesses for me. And then it's a lot about reflection and ownership and that type of thing. But nonetheless, let's talk about injectables. We talked at length last time. We talked about this Ozempic and Mounjaro. it is like the Cadillac of losing weight. There's a lot of celebrity endorsement behind some of these. And there's a ton of people that are using these to lose weight. But you and I know what you're going to say. Like, okay, great. You use it now. And then when you stop using it, then guess what? It all comes back, because guess what? It's not curing your habits. It's not, it does nothing for your right and left arm shoving stuff in your mouth, right?
Yes. And like, what's interesting, since last time we've talked, like, I've had clients that have been incredibly successful with weight loss drugs. And I think there's an important distinction here between the people that really, really need it and the people that are using it as a shortcut. If you are 400 pounds and you have a terrible relationship with food and you suffer from what's called food noise, which is just like you think about food all of the time, yes, use the drugs, because honestly, if you're 400 pounds, we just need to get the weight off. We need some level of success to build motivation, start the snowball rolling 100%. What I have a problem with when it comes to Ozempic, Mounjaro, all of the other ones, is that people see it as a shortcut so that they don't have to do the work. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, all of these drugs are a fantastic aid. They're a fantastic amplifier for the right people. But if you're trying to use it so that you can skip the work, skip the gym, and just use it as a, you know, quick fix, well, A, it won't last, unless you want to be on the drugs for the rest of your life and deal with the side effects. That's exactly. And the other thing is, if you keep eating like crap while you're on these drugs, the side effects don't feel good, whether it's constipation, whether it's whatever. I've heard about them all. You know, that's not a fun way to live. And people, you know, exchange being 20 pounds overweight for being constantly, you know, can't use the restroom. It's just like, you're just trading one hard for another. Right. It's much better if, like, hey, we need to figure out a system, a lifestyle that's going to work for you long term, that allows you to do some of the fun things while also doing some of the responsible things. And if Ozempic ends up being an amplifier because you have a ton of weight to lose, great, let's do that. But if you've got 20 pounds to lose, like, and you're just looking for a shortcut, like, you're going to get caught in the same cycle of lose the weight, gain the weight, lose the weight, gain the weight. And that's just not a good thing to put your body through, but it's also not a fun thing mentally to experience. So you're absolutely right, Andrew. Like, you still have to fix the lifestyle, whether you're using injectables or not. For the right person, injectables make a ton of sense. For the majority of people, you still have to fix the other stuff, the unsexy stuff. And that's the stuff that, you know, I kind of help people through and help people sustain. And it's the job that no one wants to do, because it's hard and pizza tastes good and all of these things. So it's all about just, you know, making sure that you have that structure, accountability, as you mentioned. And actually, I'd love to touch on that a little bit more, if it's okay. A lot of people know.
I was about to dig into the whiskey weight loss anyway, because that's your heart and soul. That's your business, and that is your program that you're the sole proprietor of and the CEO of. I want to read a quote that you have on your mm-hmm. page. It says, "I help men who drink whiskey feel more confident about and look better naked."
Yes, and.
That's fantastic, man. That's a great quote.
I appreciate that. That was actually a result of some reflection recently, because I think coaching is a very personal business. And typically you find a coach, or the coach that works best for you is someone that you can relate to. And I thought back to my personal story, and it was, well, why did I want to get in shape? Well, it's because I wanted to feel confident, feel good about myself in the mirror, and, you know, put on clothes or be out of clothes and, you know, just feel good about that situation. Because when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, God, it makes life harder to live. It really, really does. Whereas if you wake up and you like what you see and you feel good and you step out into a business meeting, you step out to a beach vacation. Like, it's so much more enjoyable when you're not constantly thinking about what other people are thinking. And I just thought about my journey and I was like, I've done this journey. I know every step of what it feels like. So who do I want to help? I want to help people who are like me or in a previous situation like I was, and just be able to know that, like, hey, what you're feeling is, these bad thoughts are not unique. Other people have gone through them, I've gone through them, and I can show you what the other side of this looks like and help you get there. And naturally, I think as a business owner, you learn as much about yourself as you do about your customers. And it was just a case of, okay, actually, on reflection, I've done this enough. I know exactly the type of person that I want to help because I know I can help them really, really well. And I just want to make sure that that message is put out into the world so that I can attract the right people that I know are going to get incredible results as a result of our time together.
Yeah, so just as a recap, I don't want to give away the whole show, but like I said before, there's a lot of accountability. You're taking pictures of, what you're consuming. There's some measurements involved, there's some weighing involved. There's some uncomfortable weeks and then there's some huge weeks of success. You've got a group, a Facebook group that cheers you on and gives you encouragement. You do some recognition too, week to week, sometimes biweekly, where people are recognized for checking in on all of their things and doing all the things they're supposed to, and also for the folks that are creating tremendous results. I saw somebody recently had lost over 50 pounds in
Yeah,
one of the
that was
groups.
John, and dude, he is crushing it. Like, coaching is much like being a teacher. Like, if you take a group of students from across the board, some of them are going to get C's and some of them are going to get A's. And it's just like that being in coaching. But like, I like to pride myself on having better than average results. And John is one of those star pupils. He is crushing it. I've got Justin just behind him too in the high 40s weight loss. I've had some people lose a ton of weight and then continue on. So I'm going to shout out a guy named Scott, and he lost something like 30 pounds in our initial 3 months, flew the nest, and then kept losing and ended up losing over 100 pounds. So it's just really cool to have that. And if you want, Andrew, like I can, share with the listeners kind of what the process is so that people can understand what that actually looks like. And this has been refined even a little bit more since we worked together. And like the program is really built on these four pillars. And each of these four pillars kind of really solves a problem that people have when it comes to weight loss. So the first pillar, I call it a time and lifestyle assessment. And it's basically me as a coach understanding exactly what your life looks like from when you wake up, what your meal times look like, when you, if you currently work out, what is, what time of day is that? Who's cooking? What's your local grocery store? Like, getting really granular so that I can design a program that fits someone's lifestyle uniquely. We talked earlier about how keto works for the 1 to 5%. Well, what if I can create a program that just fits a lifestyle like hand in glove, and how much more successful that is going to be? So that's the first pillar of this program, just understanding someone at a super granular, individualized level so that we can create a personalized roadmap. That's pillar one. Pillar two is what's called a habit recalibration. And this is the sustainability aspect of it. Like, whether we realize it or not, we all have habits that are unique to us, routines that we are in. Some of them are good, like brushing our teeth twice a day. Like, that's a good routine to have. We should keep that one. But also some bad routines, like raiding the pantry at 11 o'clock after a bunch of whiskey. Like, that's one that we can all probably relate to as well.
Yep, 100%.
So understanding what our positive habits are, what our negative habits are, and then getting to the root cause of those bad habits, and then basically understanding them, eliminating them, and then replacing them with new habits, right? Habits that are going to sustain us for the long term. The initial whiskey weight loss program is, 12 weeks. Well, we don't want results for 12 weeks. We want results for decades upon decades, and things that are going to last us until ultimately we're 6 feet deep. Which is a little morbid, but kind of true as well. So we want
Sure.
to make sure that our habits are in a really good point, and understanding like some of the psychology and things we can do to subconsciously put ourselves in a better position. I think that's huge for long-term sustainability. The third pillar is what I call kind of the meat and potatoes of the program. It's called the exercise and nutrition deep dive. And this is exactly what you mentioned earlier with, hey, I want you to take pictures of everything you eat, and then you and I can go through it just item by item by item, going like, hey, Andrew, like this is amazing. Like, please do more of this. This is fantastic. High five. The next thing might be, hey, this is good, but it could be better with a little bit of tweaking. Hey, let's swap this for this. I know last time we talked about low carb tortillas and how they're the best thing ever. And it's like, hey, like have fajitas with low carb tortillas, and like all of a sudden, we're saving calories, we're adding protein, we're adding fiber. It's a more satisfying meal. It's wonderful. And then on the exercise stuff, it's all about meeting you where you're at. So I've the two clients that I signed up most recently, one is 43, has been, in and around exercise for 30 years, knows his way around a gym. And it's like, okay, cool. We can start at a pretty advanced level. And for him, it's all about getting rid of the last kind of 15 pounds to go from in shape to like, damn, right? Like that's the kind of transformation he's looking at. And then the other client that I onboarded most recently, he's 64, never really been in a gym, suffers from low back pain, and just doesn't really know what he's doing. So for him, it's like, okay, we're going to scale way back, make sure that he feels confident, not put him in a position where he's uncomfortable, undo some of the crap that comes with being on the earth for 64 years, like posture, lower back pain, core stability, and just building up initial strength. So it's all about designing a program that fits the individual as opposed to a cookie cutter, just shotgun approach. Like that's not something that's going to work long term. So that's the third pillar, nutrition and exercise. And then the fourth pillar, something you've already mentioned, I call it the three C's. And the first C is curriculum. So I've actually built out a series of short videos that just helps people get educated on the weight loss process. And I don't want anyone to have flashbacks to like 3 hour university lectures. Like these are 90 second to 3 minute little snacks. And it's just like, hey, this is how to read a label when you're at the gas station looking for something because you are hungry. This is, what to look for when it comes to fast food menus. Like, dude, today I went to the gym and I forgot to take food with me. So I got Jersey Mike's on the way back, right? And Jersey Mike's does a Mike's Chicken Philly. It's 650, 630 calories, 47 grams of protein. It's phenomenal.
Pretty
But
good.
if you go and get their club sandwich, it's 1100 calories and 40 grams of protein. Hugely different when it comes to nutrition, but they're both 6-inch sandwiches. And it's things like that, knowing how to navigate those menus that really like applied over time, you get this cumulative benefit from having that knowledge. So curriculum is the first C. The second one is community, just like you mentioned. So belonging to a group of people who have similar ambitions, who are in, a similar stage of life, similar interests. And we could crap on CrossFit a bunch. I think there's some amazing CrossFit gyms. I think there's some terrible CrossFit gyms that get people hurt, unfortunately. But the one thing they nail is culture. Because once you start doing CrossFit, you can't stop talking about CrossFit. And not that, we want that kind of level of promotion about the brand, but there's something about belonging to a group of people who have similar goals and interests that just helps.
It's
It
being part of a tribe. It's tribal.
exactly, exactly. And one of the things that you, I, and all of the listeners have in common, it's a love of spirits and distilled beverages. And it just, it allows us to have fun and belong to a group and just enjoy ourselves. So that's the second C. The third C is coaching and communication. So this is actually the one-to-one time I have with people, and we kind of frame it as problem-solving sessions where we'll meet, we'll have an agenda, things to go through, virtual high fives on jobs well done. Like, do we have any travel coming up? Like, do we have any restaurants coming up? Do we want to go through a menu together? Things like that. And then also proactive check-ins. So something that I may have tweaked since you and I worked together, like I'll now proactively reach out to everyone every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. Monday being kind of a recap of the previous week, Friday being a check-in before any social plans over the weekend. And then Wednesday is kind of like a midweek traffic light check-in of like, hey Andrew, like how are we doing today? Are we green? Things are good. Yellow, good butt, and red, I'm in a really bad spot and I need some fitness therapy. And hopefully the reds don't pop up all that often, but when they do pop up, like we need support right now. So it just allows people to have a support system, know that someone's watching, which plays into that accountability. And when you have that accountability, it allows you to do something long enough for it to become a habit. And it all just kind of weaves together, all of these different elements just become a tide that lifts all boats. And those boats being confidence, health, blood work, how good you look naked and how good you look in a shirt, a suit, a bathing suit. It's just this really cool transformation. And the longer I've been doing this, the more I've been able to see these just wonderful changes in people. And all of a sudden they have a new lease on life, whether it's a 25-year-old who all of a sudden feels like he can talk to girls, right? Whether it's a 45-year-old dad with young kids who's like, you know what, I can be this leader in my family and show up for my wife, show up for my kids. Or it's a 65-year-old who's like, I want to see my grandkids grow up, right?
Sure.
Everyone, people in different stages of life have different motivations, but they can all make this leap forward in their health and their fitness. That just, as a coach, it makes me happy to play a very small part in those transformations.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, at the stage that I was in when we participated, I mean, I knew my way around the gym and all those good things. I just needed the accountability. And I think some of the things that I took away that still stuck with me has been the substitutions. You mentioned, the food substitutions where, hey, do we really need to buy the $1 bottle or $1 box of spaghetti? Yes, it's the most affordable option for sure. But, for a dollar and a half more, you can get this better option that's going to be half the calories. It's going to be better for you, better fiber. It's all got all these benefits, and it's a dollar and a half more. And at the end of the day, I mean, you're going to be spending that on, a variety of other things, lotions and memberships and this, that, and the other. And this should play a role in your overall health. Something else that I took away that I still do to this day is my weekends have always been my nemesis. So, we don't have any kids or grown, our kid is grown and doesn't live here anymore. And so the weekend comes, like it's party time, and if I know I don't have any responsibilities, well then I've got a bar I can walk into and turn the TV on and I'm in there all day. So it's super easy just to get kind of hung into the bar for the majority of the day, and then you're just soaking in calories and calories and calories. And so one of the things that you mentioned, and of course we, we have a variety of friends that live locally, thankfully, and which means, you're riding a golf cart or, you're walking to their house. And I was taking bottles because I wanted to share, do a bottle share. And a lot of times when you're doing those things, you end up consuming more than you planned on consuming. And obviously that can be enjoyable and sometimes it can't be. But 9 times out of 10, you're consuming more than what you planned on consuming, which means your alcohol slash calorie intake was higher than you planned on it being. And so something me and you and I or you and I talked about was, hey, let's sub the bottle for a flask, or let's sub the bottle for, 2 or 3 2-ounce samples. And instead of bringing the bottle, you bring those, and when you're done, you're done. Like it's over. Like you've had your good time, and enjoy the rest of the evening, just knowing that, hey, look, this is going to be it. And so those are things that I carry on, and throughout. I mean, I think that once I got done with the program, which not to say I wasn't serious about, lifting weights and things like that, but once I got done with it, it motivated me even harder to really get into gear and understand that, hey, look, these things that I'm doing now are going to just elongate life and make life better for the time being and make me healthier. And I think that, you know, something that we didn't really talk about much was stretching. I think the older you get, stretching becomes super important. Elongating your muscles and a range of motion is key. You know, the older I get, the more that becomes a super important part of my life. So, man, I think what you do is great. You know, I talk about you a lot with people that bring the topic up. You know, hey, look, I wish I had lost, I need to lose a little bit of pounds. And I, you signed up one of my buddies recently, Blake, out here in East Texas. He's a great guy. He's pretty fit. I mean, he's not super, you know, unfit, but he's a guy that I know he gets very committed behind things. And I know he's somebody that's going to have a high level of accountability. And when he told me, I had lunch with him this week, and I saw what he ordered, and I was like, yeah, I bet you got to take a picture of that, don't you? He was like, yep. I was like, yeah. All right, well, you're doing the right thing, man. That was a good order.
Yeah. All right, good. Well, I'm glad he's doing well, especially in company. Dude, there was a couple of things I really wanted to touch on there. And it's like, I love how you talked about like the, you know, the social aspect and how that stuff is fun. And one of the kind of philosophies that runs through Whiskey Weight Loss is that we want to drink when it adds value, when it adds happiness to an occasion. And it's like going over to the neighbors and having a drink and sharing a few things. You know, that to me, it's a good reason to drink. Now, we put certain, guardrails on it. We put some guidelines, the flask instead of the bottle, the samples, like all of these ways are just making sure that it stays a good time and it doesn't become a excessive time, right? Like, does the seventh ounce of whiskey really elevate the level of happiness, you know, in an evening? If it does, you may need to see someone. I don't know. That's a separate conversation. But also like the, you know, walking to a bar and turning on a TV and, you know, getting through half a bottle of whiskey, which is easily done. How much is that really elevating your life at that point? Right. And, you know, when you do that, you introduce, you know, weight gain and bad sleep and late night snacking. It's just like, is it really worth it? And for me and for a lot of the people that I work with, it's like, hey, we will always engage in the social stuff, the neighbors, like that's what gives like flavor and fun. But like drinking alone on a Tuesday in front of the TV, like, it just doesn't, it's not really worth it. If we want to be serious about getting healthy, living longer, setting a good example for our kids, feeling good on the beach, like these are all things that to me feel a lot better than being intoxicated on a Tuesday.
Yeah, let's talk about something that you've saddled a little bit that we talked a little bit about before the podcast, and that's the bourbon and belly fat masterclass. So yeah. we talked a little bit about that before, and you said that you've saddled it a little bit, maybe recalibrating it, and let's talk about a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this is something that I've been really focusing on this year in my business. And it's basically the idea of, you know, as I wish I could help everyone for free, but ultimately businesses can't do that, especially when you have, you know, like limited capacity and all of that good stuff. So, but one thing I did want to do is I want to give as much good information away for free as possible. So, you know, I'll talk about this, both the bourbon and belly fat masterclass and the 5-day challenge that I run. These are just things that I do that people can opt into completely for free, as long as they're serious about taking action on this stuff. And I'll just like give away the stuff that I do. Like the bourbon and belly fat masterclass is all about the mistakes that people fall into when it comes to trying to lose weight and showing people how to not waste their time. Right. Don't do this if you're trying to lose weight, because it's going to end in weight regain. It's going to end in, you know, frustration, anger, all of these kinds of things. So avoid these pitfalls. That's what the Bourbon and Belly Fat Masterclass is all about. It's all about, how do I drink a little bit of whiskey, have a good time, add value, add happiness, but also get rid of the belly fat that's really bothering me right now. Okay, so that's the first thing. And then the five-day challenge is actually a little bit more in depth. This is something that I ran in January, maybe early February, and had a ton. Someone actually lost like 16 pounds over the course of the week they did the challenge, and then the following week, which blew my mind. I was not expecting that at all, but they had that success and it was really cool. But like the things we cover in the 5-day challenge is like day one is like, how do we actually lose belly fat? Like, what are the numbers behind that? Number two is how to plan your workout for optimal muscle building. Like, we have to build muscle while losing fat, because otherwise our metabolism takes a massive nosedive and it becomes very hard to sustain that weight loss. Day three is all about how to fit whiskey into the weight loss process. That's a very nuanced conversation. Day four is a lot about mindset and how to kind of think yourself thin, which is kind of a gross line, but like it demonstrates what we talk about pretty well. And day five is all about just tips and tricks from a veteran weight loss coach. Like, I've been in the fitness industry over a decade at this point. And it's just like, you pick up certain things and I just kind of give away those tips and tricks. And it's a way for people to learn for free, very low pressure. And you know, candidly, as a business owner, some people go, this is what he gives away for free. I wonder what his paid coaching is like. And that's absolutely a conversation I have with people. But it's only a conversation if they want it to be a conversation. Like 70% of people who enroll in either the 5-day challenge or the Bourbon and Belly Fat Masterclass, they come in, they get some facts, and they go away and they implement on their own. And that's amazing. Like, if I can help someone without having to take money, that makes me so happy. But there's also people that need that accountability, that right. need one-to-one support. And I can't give that away for free. There's not enough hours in the day. So it's something that I'm very passionate about. It's something I'm going to be doing more of. You know, if anyone's interested in learning about that, they can ping me a message and I have a wait list for both of those things. And that way it's just, you know, you're first in the door. Whenever I do either the masterclass or the 5-day challenge, like, I put a hard limit on it. It's like, I take 10 to 15 people at a time, because I have one-to-one time with everyone in those challenges.
Right. Right.
And it's like, again, time, there's only so much time in the day. I currently work with somewhere between 30 and 35 clients one-on-one. So it's like, there's just only so much bandwidth left over after I take care of my paid clients. So I make sure that the people coming into that challenge, A, they're going to take it seriously, and B, you know, they have that bandwidth to be able to take on kind of a little bit of coaching before and after the challenge, so that it makes a genuine impact in people's lives. And that's what I want. Do I want to make a good living as a business owner? Absolutely. Do I want to make sure that, you know, I'm doing everything I can to make people succeed? Yes. Mostly what I want is to make an impact on people's lives. And if I can do that for free, phenomenal. Super happy.
Yeah. Very cool, man. I appreciate you giving away some scruples there. And I think that those are classes that where somebody could make an impact, and then, you know, they may want to go ahead and go for the long haul, you know, and sign up for the whiskey weight loss. And just, you don't necessarily have to drink in order to be part of the whiskey weight loss. I mean, it's like I said, I mean, I wanted to paint, you know, the picture of like accountability of what you're eating, when you're eating it, what you're consuming, because it may not be whiskey. It could be, you know, Dr. Peppers, or it may be, you know, I've got a buddy of mine that drinks, what's that yellow drink? There's like a not Mellow Yellow, but it's like it's like that. And he drinks like, you know, six of them a day, and that's his nemesis. I mean, and he's not a heavy drinker. So I think your program is applicable to not just to whiskey. I mean, it's a lifestyle. And that's what you're trying to teach, some accountability and some adaptation. For us, it was a lot of, hey, look, spend the extra dollar and a half, get you a better bread, a better pasta, a better, you know, even a better fruit. Hey, look, I think if you like this flavor, this is a better option for
Absolutely.
You, where you're going to get the nutrients, and you're going to get everything that I think you're shooting to get, but it's going to be better for you. So
And can I touch on the money stuff real quick, Andrew?
Yeah, because sure, I'm a, sure.
That is like it's a mindset shift for a lot of people. It's like, do I spend more money on the thing? It's like, you know, sometimes the healthier choice is a little bit more expensive. What I find is that when you can structure it correctly, you typically save money on eating out and you spend a little bit more eating in. Most people still come in as a net positive. But beyond that, I think there's a lot of mindset work that, like, you are a product of where you spend your money. If you spend your money on a lot of fast food, guess what? Your body looks like you consume a lot of fast food. If you spend money on, you know, health and fitness, typically your physique health is going to reflect that. Can you burn money on stuff that doesn't work? Absolutely. There is a ton of absolute crap in the weight loss industry. And that's partly why having someone who has a good knowledge base of weight loss actually goes a long way to stop you spending money on some crap. Just this week, someone reached out to me through a networking organization. It's like, hey, I represent this root extract. And I'm like, that's great. I don't want any part of that. Like, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you can calm some people into making money. But like, it's not what I want. But it's, you know, you are a product of where you spend your money. If you spend a bunch of money at the strip club, like, great. That is going to affect your relationships. If you spend a bunch of money at the drive-through, you know, unless you're being very smart about it, that will typically show up in how you look, how you feel, what your blood work is. So it's like, we're a product of where we spend our money. And if we spend our money on the right things, typically that is also going to result in a physique and a health that we desire.
Yeah. So last year was my year to do salads. So I was like gung-ho, going to do salads, grilled chicken salad for lunch. Talking about lunches. Because we do pretty good dinners. I mean, when it's just two of you, I mean, it's a little easier with kids. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of challenges. So you kind of have to work through a couple things and maybe teach them up on like, hey, this is what's nutritious and this is what we're going to eat and kind of break through some barriers with them. But last year was my okay, I'm going to eat salads. And of course, you know, keeping salad in your car or, you know, maybe storing it in certain places, it was just tough. So I did a lot of out to eat salads and it was expensive. It was $15 to $20 a day. And for 5 days, I mean, that's pretty expensive throughout the week. And so this year, the challenge was food prep. So, you know, Saturdays and Sundays have become food prep days. And although, you know, most of what I eat throughout the week for lunches is meat. So it's steaks or chicken or what have you. It's been tremendously easy to, and it's very, time efficient. Mm-hmm. I'm not spending an hour out to lunch. And I was going to Whataburger and getting, you know, chicken salad and grilled chicken and salad. And I'd eat it at 12 o'clock. By 2 o'clock, my stomach would start hurting. Just because it's hard to clean it. It's hard to keep it fresh. You're still ordering salad from a fast food vendor. And so this year, man, I feel so much better. And it's, you're forward thinking. You're thinking about, okay, I'm spending $15 on really good chicken, maybe $16, $17 on good chicken. That'll last me almost all week. You condition your body. This is what you're going to get for lunch. And this is the amount. And so your body gets reconditioned. It's getting plenty of protein and calories for lunch, plenty enough to last for dinner. I eat a breakfast, which I never really didn't like much of, but it's super important because you need that fuel in the morning. And so it is about thinking. You have to think and you have to think ahead. And it can't, you know, these last minute decisions are a lot of times what people fall into is, oh, I forgot to pack a lunch. Hey, I forgot the meal prep. Hey, I didn't eat breakfast, so I'm going to eat a big lunch. I'm going to go to the buffet. And that was something I fell into from time to time is, hey, I forgot to eat breakfast. I got to make up for that. And so there's so much to say in this deal. But for the folks that are listening, just know that Alex, there's a lot of like things that you realize that he's like, you know, paints a picture in a respectful way and does it in a way that says, hey, let's put you on track. And as long as you're committed to doing it, then it pays more in the dividends that you get than what it costs. And honestly, I think you should charge probably three times what you charge, because what you charge is very like it's like the Sam's Choice of getting, you know, healthy, in my opinion. You do way more than most, and you're real with people. But you also understand that we're people and that we need help, and then you pick up on tendencies and you, there's touch points and you create the tribe and there, it's just an awesome program. Like I say, you know, anybody that brings it up and as you know, like you said, a lot of people bring it up like, hey, I'm having problems breathing, or, hey, I want to lose weight, you know, this is my plan. Well, you know, I'm always like, hey, look, listen to this podcast. Listen to this guy, he knows what he's doing. Here's his website, you know, and all that good stuff. So, I mean, you do a great job. A lot of people know, you know, you had over 200 people that's gone through there. You've changed a lot of lives and you've given a lot of people hope that they can get some things done and some phenomenal things are happening through your business, man. So congratulations.
Dude, thank you so much. I do not feel worthy of anything you just said, but it's very much appreciated nonetheless. Like I said, I'm just trying to have an impact. I have a lot of fun doing it. Been in this industry a while, and especially the average fitness industry career doesn't last very long. Once you make it past 3 years, you're in the top 10%. So I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be surrounded by good people, get to work with good people, and look forward to work every single day.
Yeah, man. We're almost to 50 episodes. We're 2 years in, which is kind of the threshold for podcasts. Like, and we have sponsors, which a lot of podcasts are just kind of, I've watched a couple of podcasts that you've been on, and it's a wild ride sometimes. And you know, we're all about like you, it's all about the guest. Thankfully we have those sponsors that have, that are a support system to us and see the vision of what we're doing. And we're super proud of what we're doing. We're on Amazon now, which is cool. Amazon Audible. So we reached that plateau, which is pretty cool. Spotify and YouTube. I mean, those were things that we already had, but to have, you know, 7-8 businesses behind us is super cool. You asked me when Josh and I met, you know, years ago, like, hey, where do you, you know, you think you're going to be here? No way. We maybe one, maybe two sponsors max. But to have the kind of support we have and to be on some of the platforms we're on now, it's amazing, man. All right. So time for shout outs. Last time you gave a shout out to your wife. So I'm not going to let you get away with that. You can give a small shout out to her because she's pretty cool. I know she does a lot of supporting of what you do and all that good stuff. But, and I think you had, let's see, you had a mentor, maybe it was your dad that you mentioned.
I want to say it was my grandfather that I recommend.
Grandfather, that's right.
Yes.
Grandfather.
Yes. So I'll keep it out of the family this time. So I got a couple. One is professional. So I'm a really big believer in personal development and business development as well, both in terms of optimizing your business for business reasons, but also optimizing for client experience. So there's a mentor I've been working with for a little while. His name's James Goff, and he's a British guy. And dude, his knowledge of fitness and fitness business has really allowed me as a business owner to just take off and help more people better, you know, make a good living in the process. And he just pulled back the curtain on so many things that made a lot of sense and just really helped. I've got a lot of respect for James. And whenever I meet another fitness professional who is trying to crack the online fitness game, which is challenging, candidly. I always say, like, I've got some stuff I can tell you, but go work with James. He's phenomenal. So I want to give him a shout out. And then I want to give a shout out just for a life inspiration. So I've been working with a client named Victor way back before Whiskey Weight Loss. I was working with him in person. He is 92, Andrew.
Oh, wow.
still working out. He is still playing golf. He is just, I want to be him when I'm 92. And just to have someone like that who is just ha like living a very full, fulfilled life, is just really an inspiration. So anytime you can get around those old people that have, still having fun way into their later years, like that's just a really cool thing to see and a cool thing to aim for.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to give a quick shout out to my workout partner, D-Mac. We've been working out for almost 2 years now. It's been an awesome journey. It's probably the longest I've ever worked out. Of course, I was a basketball guy. We didn't really work out with football guys or the track people or anything like that. So we mostly just did legs and all that kind of stuff. I didn't really do any hardcore weightlifting. Then in my 30s, I did a little bit more. I did a lot of running in my mid 30s, and then I kind of got out of it and I got really bad out of shape. And then I went through your program. Then after that, I got a lot of motivation, and DMAC really helped me a lot. He's got a garage gym. So you're not working out in air conditioning. Like it's summertime. And he creates these wild, workout deals, and we're sweating our buns off, and we're doing all, we work out for 45 minutes to an hour, and then we're doing a HIIT workout right after that. And it's like, it's killer. It's killer, but nonetheless, it's changed a lot of about who I am and reprioritized a lot of things. And then, on Fridays, we call it like, that's Silverback Day. That's the day where we're pushing each other, like, hey, you're supposed to only do 12 reps, but we're going to do 15, or, we're going to bump up the weight 5 pounds, or we're going to do, it's all this, and it's all about just pushing each other. And it's just an awesome camaraderie. And not, we understand that we're just making each other better. And I think it's super important that you have that structure around you, if you can get it. If you don't have that, then get it virtually. Have an accountability partner or accountability group. And even if it takes you saying, hey, look, I took a step back, then that's fine. I mean, you can do that. With an accountability group, you can say, look, I took a step back, and everybody's like, I know you're going to kill it tomorrow. But I think that's an important part of the process, that you're not alone. There's a ton of people that are struggling through the same thing you're struggling through, whether it be mental, physical, emotional. There's a lot of people that have gone through hard times, hard up raising, been torn away from parents, or whatever it is that the trauma is. I mean, somebody's been going through it within a circle, within another circle that you're a part of. And so it's important to get into programs like Alex's, so you can connect with those types of folks. Man, so great to have you back on. We covered a lot of ground again. We always do this because you and I are really good at talking and connecting and stuff like that. So it's awesome to have you on. I'm looking forward to having you on again, man.
Dude, thank you so much. This is always a blast. I always appreciate you having me on. You're doing great things with the podcast. It just gets better and better and better. And congrats on the recent successes, and can't wait to be back.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Appreciate you. We've got a winery on next. I'm looking forward to it. It's right down the road from me, like 5 minutes. The owner used to be worked for NASA. He was he was an astrophysicist. So when he retired, he went into the winery business, and he's about to open a distillery where he's going to distill brandy and limoncello. So I'm looking forward to having a good time in a controlled manner at the distillery. So thanks so much. Have a good one.